It's hard to jump back into. Oh, you started the recording. I see. Sneaky. Oh, it's hard to come back. It's hard to come back from Vegas and like literally get right back into work and like, you know, there's still like lots. Like I'm sitting in my study and it's just a fucking pigsty. But I literally have no time to clean it up. Like none. So, but all in all, it's good. I'm just still tired.
Right. Yeah. The tired part's going to affect you for a while.
But not too tired to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad that my other pod worked out the way it did. Yeah. I was at the gym and he was like texting me and asking all these questions. I was like, well, I'll tell you right before we start recording. He's like, aren't we recording in 5 minutes? I'm like, oh, fuck. I had to leave, drive home, and hop right on. But it turned out pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. You know, felt a little like I was getting cheated on. Like, yeah, we can, like, do it. But, like, you know, we got to be quick. Like, I got this more important thing going on. And I felt like, you know, you had this new shiny young thing. And I was,
you know,
like,
what? I get a lot more people thanking me for doing it and telling me that they like it there. So there is more praise at the end of the, I don't know, for the effort.
But I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about me.
Oh, it's all about you.
It's all about me. Everything's about me.
Is your brother-in-law still do his for his league?
Oh, they don't do it. He doesn't do it just for the league. He does it for like everything. Like,
oh yeah,
they have a legit like podcast that they like. They talk about like they talk about sport, all types of sports, food, like, you know, pop culture, TV shows, all kinds of stuff, and like, you know, they get really into it. Like they have like a whole like the podcast for anyone who cares is called Shooting Two, and like they have like an Instagram page, and like one of the guys works for the Golden State Warriors, so they have like some connections. Oh. Like they had what's his name? Was one of the cornerbacks from the Pittsburgh Steelers of the winning team, Ike something.
Ike Taylor?
Was it Ike Taylor?
Sounds
like they had him. I forgot his last name, but it was basically a cornerback for the Steelers back when they won the Super Bowl on their show. Like,
cool.
Talking to him. So I was like.
So they got like real sponsors and stuff.
They don't have real sponsors, but they have like a lot more connections. And like, you know, I don't know. They're more willing to like. And advertise and get listeners. You know,
we've peaked. We have all the listeners that we could possibly need.
I feel like we have potential. We have potential, maybe. But so.
Yeah, tell me about Vegas.
Vegas was great. Like, I've told a few people already. Like, I did not gamble at all. And I loved it. I had no desire to gamble. We stayed at the Wynn, which was lovely.
Lovely? That's your word you described it?
Yes, it is. Because the Wynn is, I hadn't spent much time there before, but it's, you know, it's sheeshy. You know, like, the way I compare it, the other one I said recently is the Cosmo. The Cosmo, I feel like, is like, still kind of like young and like a lot of sexy people and like out and about stuff going on. And the Wynn, I feel like, is a little older crowd, not as crowded. Like, for example, like, you know, I was still up most mornings between 8 to 9 and went downstairs to get some coffee. And like, I'm used to seeing like people that are like, you know, still out from the last night gambling at the tables. And there was none of that. Tables were pretty empty, so it's like a different crowd, and I kind of liked it.
Do you think it post-COVID type of pandemic scene, or is that
no,
have an impact
no.
on?
No, Not at all. Because we went to other casinos and it wasn't like that at all.
Oh, interesting.
So I think it's just the way the wind might be, I think. We went through this place called Area 15, which is this kind of newer, it's like an adult experience for like your different senses. So they have different exhibits that kind of play in like, you know, sight, sound, virtual reality kind of things. It was really cool. And then like, you know, they have like a couple bars there in the area too. So it was a giant warehouse and they just made into that stuff. That's actually, you know, I texted about Emporium, Josh's, I forget, is it brother and brother-in-law, stepbrother. I forget which one, but Josh's relative who owns Emporium, that's where that was located. But anyway, it's this fun place where there's different exhibits. And then like, you know, we finished all our exhibits by like 2:30 and we were just like having some drinks. And next thing you know, 3 hours later, you know, having a bunch of drinks, drunk, went out to dinner. It was great. A lot of fun. Saw the Michael Jackson definitely. Show.
Yeah, how was that?
That was really good. I had heard a lot of things about it. So, but it was impressive. I will say I did have mixed feelings at times about it, just with everything that, you know, in the documentary, everything coming out. But I still feel like there has to be a way to separate the person from the icon. You can't just write him off because of just what he did to the music. Like, he introduced pop music. But like I said, I still had some mixed feelings. Like, you know, there was one set where they said, like, "Welcome to Neverland." And I cringed when I saw it. I was like, "Oh, God," like, "Oh," kind of thing. But, yeah, you know, I guess I'll have an appreciation for, you know, the person as an artist and what his talents were and the show they were able to make out of it.
Right.
So
That's cool. What about, should we talk about some football?
Yeah, dude. You want to change up the, our little, scheme and schedule?
What about the schedule?
I mean, how we do our things, like the order.
Oh yeah, let's just talk about where the standings, how the standings are right now, and I don't want to harp on last week's games too much. I feel like when I listen to you and Turb do it, you guys are just kind of regurgitating the numbers from the week before, and people are listening to it about 5 or 6 days after. So let's just talk about the standings, and then we'll talk about the matchups moving forward into this week. We'll start in the associates. I like what you did there with the logo on the website.
Somebody finally noticed. I even forgot that I did this. And
how long ago did you do it?
I did. And now I remember. I did it on Monday because we have a microwave that hasn't been working. I was sitting here waiting for the microwave person to show up, and I was like, I don't know what to do. And I was like, all right, here, let me update Survivor Pool, and I'll finally update the different headings of the league. So that's when I did it.
Nice. Yeah, I think I noticed it. Yeah, a good day or two ago, and I was like, "This looks different. I like it."
I don't know if anyone else noticed it, to tell you the truth. So, because I forgot that I did it, and no one said like, "Oh, dang, look at you." So.
Yeah. But yeah, so that division now is looks like it's anyone's. There's 4 teams fighting for 2 spots. Daniel still seems pretty locked in. I wouldn't say he's locked in for a bye, but he's locked in to make the playoffs, if that makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's anyone's game except for the associate.
That they say, exactly.
But, yeah, I mean, Myers is at the top of it right now, but, like, he's – when you think about it, he's only really kind of, like, 2 games ahead. And, you know, what we've been seeing with the NFL landscape is that literally anything can happen any Sunday. We just saw a whole bunch of what we thought to be solid teams get taken down by mediocre teams over the weekend. And so if that's possible, that means that if teams itself are not producing that they should, that means that your fantasy players are not going to necessarily be as reliable either. So I think it's anyone's game, especially in your guys' division.
Right. And most teams have gotten hit with the injury bug. But it seems like Daniel's team is kind of, I guess he had Montgomery down, but I mean, if he were to get, you know, he dealt with Dak too, you know, let's say someone, one of his top players like Cooper Kupp or someone that like really carries his team goes down and he can, you know, still free fall out of the playoffs, but he's looking pretty good. Joe, talk about free falling. Joey's team, who in the beginning of the year was getting all kinds of lucky wins. If he doesn't get those lucky wins, he could be sitting at a, you know, 3-7 record right now with not so many victory points, and his team is trending in the wrong direction. What are your thoughts?
Exactly. I mean, I think we've been saying that kind of from the beginning. Like, we kept saying that Weitzman's team was more of a pretender than anything else. Like, he was banking on his quarterback play to really kind of carry him through, and then everyone else have some kind of, like, mediocre games. And Jalen Hurts is still bringing it, but, I mean, Kyler Murray, yeah, he missed some games, but, like, this is what happened to Kyler last year because he was on my team. Like, he came out of the gates hot, and it was on fire. And then, like, you know, it was kind of like he didn't have enough stamina to keep it through. Granted, he's been hurt right now, but
I think that happened last year too. He dealt with injuries last year. He started getting a little banged up, and
And
if he just run around the field like he was in the beginning of the year, he can't. He's just not as effective. He needs to be 100% healthy. So
yeah, and let's look at. I'm going to take a look at his numbers. You know, he started out really hot, 33, 37. And then, like, you know, actually, yeah, that was it. And then he just quickly dropped down to, like, the low 20s. So, you know, he's not he's serviceable, but it's not like he's not guaranteed to be putting up top quarterback points week in and week out, especially with the injuries, Hopkins being beat up. And I don't know if Hopkins is ever going to return to full health this season because Hopkins never missed games and he missed two already, and it looks like he's going to miss a third one right now. And they keep talking about how, like, oh, you know, Murray's spreading the ball around, yada, yada, yada. But, I mean, I think he's able to spread the ball around because Hopkins is out there, demands all his attention. If Hopkins isn't out there, you know, all those receivers all of a sudden become even more mediocre because now you don't have to, they don't have to concentrate on stopping him. So right. Until – I feel like until Hopkins is back on the field, Murray's not going to be nearly as good. And for that reason – Weissman's not going to be nearly as good. So,
As we move down the standings, Turbin's team right now is the hottest team. He's got the 5-game winning streak, he's taking control. He looks to be the safest team not named Daniel to make the playoffs, in my opinion. He was the opposite of Joey, where he was getting really, really unlucky in the beginning of the year, and then now I think we both mentioned that it was just going to be a matter of time till his record and victory points, you know, leveled out. But his team is he's got a lot of good options on his team, and he's trending up.
Yeah, and you know, this is just a perfect example of why victory points really helps balance things out. Because, like, you know, Turbin has five wins, just like everybody else. But you know, I guess it doesn't really make an example of it right now.
Nope, not at all.
So never mind. But anyway, looking at his roster, like, yeah. And he was doing all this with McCaffrey being out. Right. And some McCaffrey is back. And I don't know if Carolina is smart enough to manage him appropriately, because it seems that McCaffrey is just like full speed when you put him in the game all the time, which is what you want from your player. But sometimes you have to protect your player from himself. And I think that, you know, part of the – he keeps getting these soft tissue injuries, and then he keeps re-injuring himself. And to me, that says that the training staff isn't doing their job. Or, like, you can't just, like, throw this guy out and have him play 80% of the snaps right now. And – because he's a full go every time you put him in there. So we'll see if they can actually learn to manage him appropriately so he can actually make it through the whole season. And then he's got a sneaky pickup of A.J. Dillon, which – you know, they say Aaron Jones can be out 1 to 2 weeks, but it might be more. And I mean, there's no one else running the ball there in Green Bay. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers, his immunization isn't really doing it very good right now. Cause I think there's reports he's feeling fatigued and whatnot. So he clearly wasn't 100% last Sunday. And I don't think he's going to be 100% this Sunday still. So, A.J. Dillon's a sneaky, sneaky play there. So, and he's got the Ernest Johnson, and I mean, who knows what's going on? No one's healthy on the Browns except for him, so
I like it. Yeah, his team is looking – he's still got Josh Allen, who's one of the top quarterbacks. Matt Ryan probably not the best QB2 to have on your team, and he's got Baker also as another quarterback. So that might be one of his, and his wide receivers kind of are, besides DK, who is not consistent. But he's definitely got a good running back core, and Josh Allen. And he's definitely in the mix. And like I said, out of the four teams that are vying for those two spots, I feel like he might have the best chance of making it. And there's Costa, who I haven't really officially counted out, but I was never really threatened by him. I don't know what to make of his team. You got any thoughts?
I mean, he's being scrappy. That's, yeah. You know, he got hit by the injury bug, and he's working the waiver wire, and he's putting together a team of just like scraps, essentially, because that's all he's able to do because of the injuries that keep happening. He's picking up stuff off the waiver wire, and he is keeping himself afloat as best he can despite being dealt this terribly unlucky hand all season long. So I think it's just the best way to describe it is being scrappy. And then, I mean, Stephon Diggs had a big game last week. I mean, if I don't know if that's a preview of things to come, if it was a one-off because Diggs is not really what he was before, but maybe Buffalo is righting their offensive wrongs there. But, you know, I mean, the Darrell Williams pickup was solid. I think Darrell Williams is going to be serviceable the rest of the season. He's got some decent running backs there. Hunter Henry, sneaky pickup also. Score a touchdown every single week, so.
Yeah, I mean, he's got some of the same weaknesses as Turb. No depth at wide receiver. He's really he's got those two locked in, and he's got to plug the other wide running backs. He's missing Cordell, who's considered a wide receiver. But and he's got one good quarterback to get him through weeks, and then he's going to plug and play the rest, so. I mean, between him, Joey, and myself, we'll talk about my team, who is trying to make a run here, trying to get healthy. I'm not really feeling it. I personally know how it feels to win a championship, and this doesn't feel like a team that's going to win a championship.
Did anybody think that Josh's team was going to win a championship at this time last year?
Right. No. I'm waiting to get Kareem Hunt back. I heard he's has a chance coming back next week. Antonio Brown still got the ankle injury, but Kittle coming back is looking nice. And I think out of the teams that are vying for the spot, I think my quarterback combination of Brady and Tannehill is probably the best out of those four teams vying for that spot. I think I have too many holes elsewhere, but. We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see if Antonio Brown's still allowed to play with that fucking fake vaccination card.
If Aaron Rodgers is allowed to play, then
I know. I will say it's a little bit. I would say it's a little bit worse. Rodgers, it's not like he produced a fake card. He just was a fucking liar up there. This is more than lying. This is like actively going out and like, you know, actively getting a fraudulent piece of paper to prove it. But
so what's I don't know. It was like the source is like his chef that lived with him. Like, not like it was like Adam Schefter that like broke the story. It's like, I don't know. Anyways, yes. Antonio Brown comes with baggage. When he's playing, him and Tom make my team, you know, a contender, but I don't know if that's going to happen. Like, you know, he said he's still not even healthy yet either.
And I like what's going on with Kittle now. Like, he's been hurt for a while, but he's back and he's big on offense. So,
and getting the end zone. That up.
Yeah, that's what you want. There's like, you know, the gold standard, and even by his standards, it hasn't been a great year, and no one else even has come close to being consistent like him. Waller and Kittle were like up there before in previous years. So, and Kittle's been hurt this whole time. So we'll see. But I mean, you have to like what you've seen since he's been back
so far. Yeah, for sure. Ambassador still collecting keepers for next year. I'm not even gonna click on his name and look at his roster. Let's move on to the other division. Who someone asked on GroupMe about Grant's winning streak. And as soon as someone did that, it came to an end, but he did have an 8-game winning streak. And now his window for the bye seat is a little bit smaller as Jeff.
It sure is.
Jeff's heating up and looks like KC might have fixed their problems. They look back to normal. But let's take a look at Grant and what he's got going. He's got Russell back, but he's got like a tired Aaron Rodgers. And you would have thought that would have been a fun game for him to watch, having both those quarterbacks.
Oh,
and it
God.
Was just a dud.
Oh, as a Russell Wilson owner in another league. Yeah.
And then Connor, who I feel is James Connor, who's been, you know, he's leading the league in touchdowns, but he goes as, you know, Kyle Murray makes his job so much easier. Without Kyle Murray, James Conner seems pretty pedestrian. And he's got, you know, Darrell Henderson still has got a pretty solid role. And even Melvin Gordon is getting plenty of touches. And then he's got, you know, his wide receivers look pretty solid too. I still like his chances. I think he had a down week last week, and I think he'll bounce back moving forward. You know, anything you want to add?
Yeah. No, I mean, he's got relatively consistent people at most of the positions, and that's what, you know, that doesn't always translate into a championship, but it'll translate into definitely a playoff berth, and then you just have to hope that your players hit in the playoffs. So, but there's not any glaring weaknesses. There's pretty good consistency all throughout, like you had said.
And then there's Jeff's team, who was clamoring for his own applause when he picked up Stevenson off the Patriots, and you know what? Good for him that he did pick him up. He did have a big game, but now he started him this week, and Harris was back, and he's got him 5 points. So, good job, Jeff. I hope
I'm really Kyrie happy can, about it. I'm very
yeah,
happy
I'm
about
sure
it.
You are. But I mean, he's still got Patrick and Tyreek, who and Deebo Samuel. I mean, he's got two of the top few wide receivers. Brandon Cooks is pretty solid. You know. Guy who's going to usually put up numbers for you just because he's the only one that can play football on the Texans. So overall, he's got a pretty solid team. And then if Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill are clicking again, they're going to be trouble.
Yeah. I mean, he's got some glaring weaknesses, but I mean, he's got, like you just mentioned, like he's got a top tier quarterback that if they put it back together, it's unstoppable. And he's got this top receiver, and then Deebo Samuel is just, you know, we talk about him all the time, like this can't continue, but it does. And he's just, whether he's rushing for a touchdown or catching a 60-yard ball, he seems to do it every single week. So, and Mark Andrews is nothing to sneeze at either. He's somewhat consistent as a tight end as well. So Ross's team is scarier than I initially thought. His running backs are, you know, if he doesn't get Chris Carson back, he could be in some trouble. And
right.
There's a chance that Carson doesn't come back for the season. So,
yep. He's gonna have to deal with that running back thing, and hopefully he can catch lightning in a bottle again, especially later in the season when he's gonna need it in the playoffs. There's not much competition for a playoff spot as of right now. Steve's team, after getting put on a pedestal as a sleeper to win it all, has come up short 2 weeks in a row. Steve's had some bad losses this year. But he's still got, one of the hottest running back in the league right now. That's it. That's really hot for him right now. I mean,
he ran into a buzzsaw this week. Like, what are you going to do?
I don't know. It had nothing to do with you. Now Aaron Jones is banged up.
I'm saying that facetiously, but like in all honesty, he was the third highest points this week. You know, it really sucks when you're like the second or third highest points. Yes, you can still get a victory point, but you don't get those other two. And it's brutal. It's brutal when someone else scores 30 points less than you and is getting potentially three points. You know, it sucks.
He lost in week four to Jeff and had the second most points.
Yeah.
Well, third most points. So it's third most points. So it's happened to him before. He's had some bad luck. I don't know. Maybe he's gotta be try a little bit harder in fantasy, Steve. Come on.
It's not over yet.
Yeah.
However, when you don't know that both your quarterbacks are on bye until Saturday night. I mean,
I'm gonna bring up a point when we had Coast on about power rankings and why Steve should have been lower than me at that point. And it was because of that reason, where he's not as cerebral of knowing what's going on when he's making deals. And I think that should factor in.
And
don't you think?
I'll top to it right now. I was doing straight up gamesmanship. I picked up PJ Walker strictly so that he could not have had a starting quarterback this week. And then Ben Roethlisberger got hurt and gave him an out.
I don't think Roethlisberger getting hurt and give him out. I think it was Daniel, Mr. Everything is fair in fantasy football, and everyone should have participation trophies told to pick them up.
But all I'm saying is that didn't happen until Saturday night, where we found out that Roethlisberger was going to be out. Up until that point, there was nobody to pick up. I purposely picked up PJ Walker to block him from getting anybody.
I saw Steve's situation. I was almost going to offer him a trade, but he really only had Kenyon Drake to offer me. And Drake had been playing good, but I didn't want to have to make a move. And I was going to only offer him – it would have hurt him too. I was going to offer him White from the Jets, who ended up throwing 4 picks. So I'm glad I didn't do that, because I probably could have talked Steve into doing that. I'd be like, look, you'll have a starting quarterback. You're not going to use Drake, but I didn't really want Drake either. And then Fred's team.
But who doesn't love the Drake? Who doesn't love the Drake?
Fred's team's back. He's setting his lineup. He's participating. Got a W. Some point, yeah. And then Mitchell's team, who I feel like he was like in it a couple weeks ago, but he's got a 5-game losing streak, and I think he might be checking out soon.
Yeah, it's you know, he was also someone who dealt some bad luck, but like, you know, he had bad luck and then his team started playing bad, and so he's fallen behind. Both his quarterbacks had terrible games this week, so he didn't stand a chance. I don't know what's going on with the Rams. I don't know. They're on bye, so that's a good thing. So maybe they can set it right after that. But, you know, the last 2 weeks have not been kind to them at all. You know, he's dealing with injuries now, too, with both Hopkins and Edmonds out. And you know, he's not using the IR spot or doing anything to his advantage, so. And also the other thing that's hurting him is, you know, Mike Williams is back to being a scrub after having a monster start to the season. That hurts as well.
Fast drop to reality for him. I think he was banged up and he was playing through it, and I don't know if he's fully healthy yet, but he was pretty playing pretty out of his mind early in the season. But yeah, he definitely dropped off. All right, cool. That was a good catch up on how teams are doing, the state of the franchises, you want to call it. Let's talk about these matchups this week.
Let's do it. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with, I'm looking at the last scoring, and we'll just go down the list and start with Josh versus Turb. I don't think there's much going on here. Turb should win this easily and continue his win streak and his pursuit of making the playoffs.
I'm trying to find it. Let's see. Yeah. I mean, there's not much to say. I don't know what Damian Harris is doing now, but his other two running backs are going to have great games. And I don't know about this starting of Marcus Johnson. I think you're chasing points from last week, but
They're playing Houston. I don't know.
The Pickens are slim. I get it. So, I mean, it's a win.
It doesn't matter what he does there, for sure.
Yeah.
And then the next game with Joey and Costa, I feel it's like more of the same, more of Joey's free fall and Costa kind of coming on the scene here. We don't know what we're going to get from Kyler Murray. Seattle played pretty good defense last week. His running backs, James Robinson's got a new injury, but he looks like he's going to play. What do you think?
It's a tough one. I feel like Costa has more of the potential to like have a bigger week with some of those players on it, being Diggs, Keenan Allen, Herbert. Cam Newton is a wild card. You know, they're playing Washington, so I think he's good for at least a rushing touchdown, if not a rushing and a throwing touchdown. So I think I'm going to – I just think that Costa – like I said, I think Costa's got a higher ceiling than Weitzman's team. But we know Weitzman's team has a way of grinding it out. So, but I think Costa has the edge here. And last time I checked, Kyle Pitts wasn't doing anything, so that really hurts Weitzman as well.
Yeah, right now they both got tight ends going, and Weitzman actually has – Pitts has 4.4 versus Costa. Henry's got 3.5. And the – Patriots are up 16-0, so I don't see Henry getting too much more action, and Pitts could get some garbage time points. And then there's me and Daniel. I already made the wrong decision starting the wrong defense.
But just going back, this matchup between Weitzman and Costa is huge, because if Costa wins, I mean, he you know, leapfrogs over. I mean, Jared's probably going to win, so then if Costa wins, they both leapfrog over Weitzman in the standings, and then all of a sudden Weitzman is now in fourth place when he was sitting up top for a while. That's a big ball.
And if I can pull up the upset with Daniel, I could drop him all the way down to fifth place.
Oh, dang.
He's free falling big time. I don't know if I like my chances of beating Daniel, but like I started saying, I have the Patriots defense sitting on the bench, and they got 21 points already. That's because they're holding a shutout. If that shutout changes, obviously the score goes down. But I got the Titans versus Houston, which should Titans have been playing pretty well, pretty solid on the defensive side, and Houston is kind of a travesty of an offense.
Kind of. They're a fucking travesty.
Yeah. I'm hoping Devontae. I know it's going to probably be a pretty even split between him and Latavius Murray. I'm going to stick with him probably. Hopefully he can get me, you know, maybe double digits. Gibson, he's going to have to find the end zone. I got like Sanders and Waddle who could go off. They haven't gone off, but they have the ability to, versus, Daniel's team, who's Dak's probably going to have a monster game. If that KC Dallas game is high scoring, and his running backs are up there with the best in the league right now with the way they're playing and his matchups. So it's going to be tough. I did catch him without needing to go against Cooper Kupp, which is nice, but I think those running backs.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, I think those running backs that he's got and Dak probably are going to be too much for me to overcome.
But, you know, Elijah Mitchell might not play. He's got a broken finger. We don't know what the status of that is. So that, you know, I don't know what he throws in there. Doesn't have much. It's going to be probably Peterson, it looks like, if that's the case. And Peterson's good for like 3 or 4 points.
Right.
And the good news is, if, you know, Mike Evans could blow up, but you got Brady.
Right. That'll kind of contain it a little bit, but you know, six plus, like last time I played him, I think that was when Evans had 3 touchdowns. So it was like, okay, I say, you know, he got 2 points here. He got another 2 points, and that's, you know, 6. All the yardage, and it didn't really help. But, Tom Brady is, I mean, with no Gronk and no Antonio Brown, he's not, his ceiling is definitely not as high. And now with, you know, hopefully it's a Godwin game. That's all I can hope for. But it would make for if things get pretty interesting in this division if you know, Costa were to win and I were to win, to really switch things up. And then we'd all get a little bit closer to Daniel, too.
That would be, I mean, that's what makes it fun when it's like really, you know, it's obviously like nerve wracking to be in that position and to, you know, have it come down to the end, but it's also, that's what makes it fun. That's, you know, but to make it interesting. It's not fun when it's wrapped up by week 10 and you already know who's going to be in the playoffs and you're just sitting there waiting for it to come.
Which might happen in your division. Let's keep moving. Steve's, this is a must-win game for Steve. If he loses to Mito, I think he's just got too much of a mountain to climb. But for him, I think he's got a pretty good shot at it with Stafford being on a bye and all the injuries that Daniel or Mito's dealing with. I feel like Steve can pull this one out.
Yeah, Stefan Bajorquez hurts me toll a lot because you know that was one of the strengths of his team, and Hopkins probably ain't gonna play this week as well. So, I mean, he doesn't have much to choose from to be consistent there. So I think, and Fiala's team, I mean, I thought for sure that when he was starting Mason Rudolph at quarterback, like the matchup between me and him wasn't even going to be close. And
that was the same case. That was the same case with me and you, and with my matchup I put up against you. You didn't even think I had a chance, and if I would have started Kittle, I would have beat you. You're the luckiest fucking guy ever.
No, man, I still put up like 136 points. It's not like I won 90-80.
It was It was like 109-105.
Well, maybe I'm talking about me versus Fiala. I don't remember what the score of mine and yours was, but I'm talking about me and Fiala is all I'm saying. I'm trying to say is that even without he only had one quarterback that was a backup quarterback going, he still almost beat me when that should automatically take you out of the running automatically. And that's just me speaking to how strong his team is. And that starts with, you know, Jonathan Taylor has been just lights out.
Yeah.
And then, Aaron Jones, he's been, on the downswing the past couple weeks. But if he comes back in the next couple weeks, that's solid. And his receivers are awesome. So,
yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a pretty important game win for him. He's already trailing by 5 points, and to lose to, almost a layup with Ross Mitchell's team and his bye issues and injury issues. Pretty important win for him this week. I think he takes care of business. All right, now let's talk about the matchup of the week. Can we call it that?
Which one is that?
You versus Jeff.
Yes, it is. I think it is.
Yeah, for sure.
It's important. Points in the victory points. He's in second. I'm in third. It's major. This could shake things up.
Yeah. I think you've got the edge. Your shitty quarterbacks continue to do just enough for you. It looks like
that really makes you mad, doesn't it?
And Gallup back.
You'll notice that I don't have one of my shitty quarterbacks on my team anymore.
Yeah, you kind of finally cut ties.
Yeah, well, I mean, Sam Darnold's done for the season, pretty much. So no reason to hold on to him.
You don't want to keep him for next year?
I don't think Carolina's going to keep him for next year.
maybe Josh will pick him up. Yeah.
There you go.
Now you don't have to kill yourself over which shitty quarterback to start. But yeah, you're getting Gallup back, but who knows how he's going to be entered back into the lineup and how, what kind of targets he's going to see. But yeah, your team, like always, has been pretty solid from top to bottom.
I'm not getting Gallup back. Like, I think Turbin drafted and dropped, and I picked him up and put him on IR. And so I'm playing him.
Well, whatever. He's coming back from.
He's coming back. I'm just saying, obviously, like, I lost my Robert Woods last week, so it put a glaring hole in my lineup because I had a pretty set it and forget it kind of running back wide receiver situation going on. And now that flex spot.
This is your first decision where you got to make. You got to play Gallup over Ayuk or AJ Green. Ooh, you definitely made the wrong decision.
Oh no, or Michael Carter. Like, none of those are great options. I get that, but you got to pick. My thought process is, I think that the Chiefs and Cowboys is going to be a high scoring game. Who's gonna have the most opportunities to do something right now? Out of all those players, I think it's gonna be Gallup. Obviously, Ayuk going against the Jaguars is a wonderful matchup, but he can't be trusted right now. He's the third option in that passing game in a team that doesn't like to throw the ball. And I mean, I don't know if Kyler Murray plays, that it makes AJ Green more intriguing. Is AJ Green the number one? I know Christian Kirk's getting all the attention, but AJ Green was out one of those weeks, and he was coming back from COVID last week. So not completely set, but I think it is. I'm probably going to stick with Gallup. So anyway.
Well, you're wrong. Guarantee you're going to be wrong. You should have played somebody else.
Who should I play?
Maybe he's not even on your roster, but somebody will outscore Michael Gallup. As we keep talking, Stevenson continues to get more points. He's at 7.2 now. Which is about more than I would expect it for him. So I thought it would have been, I think it should be a good game's almost over. But he's got Trevor Siemian going for him, who has not done much. And Mixon, the Raiders' run defense is mediocre, I guess. It's going to come down to that. Yeah, Dallas, I feel like you're putting in Gallup just because he's got Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. So,
no,
yeah, you're definitely going to have it.
I didn't think of it that way. Honestly, I just looked at it and I was like, this is a high-scoring affair. Who's got the best shot of, getting a bunch of targets? And
I know. I'm just busting your balls.
Now that you say that it makes that game really exciting to watch on Sunday.
For sure. Now hopefully it's a huge under and it's like 13-6. And last.
So who's gonna win between the two of us?
I think you're gonna pick. I mentioned I thought you had enough firepower to win it. I don't know who plays Grant down the stretch, but one of you guys, whoever wins this, maybe both of you do, but it's going to be interesting to see who gets the bye in that division. It's pretty tight.
I think I've played Grant twice already, so I think I'm done playing him.
So maybe Grant and Jeff get to battle it out. Brad and Grant, I think Grant gets back on the winning ways. I don't know what he got his lineup situation like here. How does he have four wide receivers in one running back?
I don't know. It looks like we have to make some changes because you only got one running back in.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's even being submitted as a lineup. I don't think it is.
It's not.
Oh, it's not. You're right.
Because he doesn't have, I don't think he has, it's not like, it's, oh, that, I don't know. Anyways, I think not, he beats Fred.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about with Grant's team before. It's got solid pieces all around. Fred's team isn't. How much does Mac Jones have right now? Not that much. Only one touchdown thrown. So
10.78. Yeah, he's got 10.78 for him, and then his kicker missed the field goal, so it was minus one.
Ouch. So. Yeah, I think. I think Grant gets it handily.
Yep. All right. No, that's a wrap.
Rap. Get it? Rap.
Are you rapping or beatboxing?
My name is Aaron, and I'm here to say I like fantasy football in a crazy way.
Nice. I just booked my flight to Salt Lake City. What can't you get?
Oh, dude, you're officially going?
Yeah.
Nice. I'm jealous. I think you guys have a good time.
My phone was blowing up with the text on the details on it during the whole pod.
That'll be awesome.
Where are you going?
I don't have time.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't. Like, I can't get that many days off. You know, we took some days off to go to Vegas. We're gonna take some time off in the spring for take the kids somewhere. I need a trip back to Chicago sometime in the spring as well. So that's about it.
Bummer.
That's my time.
I didn't know if I can make it happen, and then I talked Amy taking the kids to Florida because her parents are gonna be down there. I was like, why don't you take the kid to Florida? And I was like, I'll go to Utah and you guys can just have your trip. You can spend time with your parents. And then one thing led to another and I booked a flight like 2 hours ago.
Nice. Have you been to Park City before?
I have not. I've driven through Utah from driving to Vegas from Colorado when I was in college, but that's about it.
It's nice. I went there for Sundance one time. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's clearly a much different atmosphere when it's Sundance versus not, but the downtown area is really cool. Like I enjoy it. It's a fun town.
Yeah, it should be a good time. I mean, I can't even remember the last time I got to go on a guys trip like this. So
that's true.
And well overdue.
You guys got a house, I think.
Oh, that's what they were texting. They were looking at or some other options, but
that's the way to go.
Yeah, we'll get a house for like 3 bedroom with fucking twin beds or some shit. I don't know.
Ooh, you guys gonna share some beds?
No, that we made it clear that we all want our own bed. Worst case scenario is we'll have to share a room. Like if they I started looking at houses and it was like 3 bedrooms, sleeps 8, and it had like a bunk bed in one room and like 2 queens in one room and like that type of style. I don't know. We'll see. There was a lot of people suggesting things and I kind of stepped away. Like my opinion. I just want to hang out. I'm just gonna be there along for the ride.
Honestly, one of the best things out there was just like, this is not unique to Park City by any means, but just like being in a hot tub outside, looking at the mountains, you know, the snow covered mountains. I'm sure you experienced that plenty of times in Colorado. It's beautiful.
Right. That's where I want to be doing right now.
But instead,
we'll have to wait.
You're talking to me.
Who?
Instead, you're talking to me. You said that you're doing right now.
Yeah, I enjoy that too.
Okay, good. I made the list.
Yes. Yes, you did. All right. I think that's a wrap.
Sounds good.
See ya.